Welcome to the Red Half of Sheffield, a Sheffield United podcast by two American Blades fans. My name is Noah Snyder, and I'm joined, as always, by Chad Jarvis. And how are you doing there, Chad?
Oh, I'm not doing too bad. Yesterday's kind of meh game, and wanting to just get across the pond and over to Bramall Lane for Saturday on to Millwall. Please, let's go.
Yeah. When's your flight? It's what, the day after tomorrow?
Yeah, Thursday afternoon. I take out of Charlotte, North Carolina, and head to New York, and then I got about an hour and a half layover in New York, and then I'm over to England by about 10 o'clock in the morning, Friday morning. So let the party begin.
I'm so stoked for you, man. Yeah. I am so absolutely excited for you. You're going to have an amazing time.
Yep. I'm going to see all the boys over there and send your well wishes to them as I probably buy a bunch of beer for all the boys when I get there, because I've already promised a bunch of people to or that I will give back, so to speak.
And that's not going to be the only thing that you're buying while you're over there. Smooth
no.
transition here. You are also going to be buying me the 2022-2023 kit, which was released yesterday. And Chad, I wanted to get your thoughts. Is this a top 10 kit for you? Is this a bottom 10 kit for you? What do you think?
I would probably put it in I wouldn't necessarily say like a top 10. It's a nice kit. I like it. The one thing I noticed last night, and it was hard to like picture it out on the players' backs, was the numbers. Just with the stripes down the entire back, it makes the numbers almost impossible to read. Which, I mean, we'll obviously get used to it as we go on into the season. So, I mean, I liked it. I like the stripes all the way down the sleeves. I like the collar. I like the 1889. I mean, it's a nice clean kit. I mean, it's just kind of like, it's not like, oh, wow, this is awesome or anything like out of the ordinary. It's just kind of like run of the mill. Now that goalkeeper kit. Yep, I'll probably be snatching that one up as well. Yeah, that looked pretty sick.
It's red and white stripes, isn't it? I mean, yeah. It's a Sheffield United kit at the end of the day. I do go in for kits. I buy the kit almost every single year just because it's a way to support the club. And, you know, I like wearing it out around town. Probably, you know, if I lived across the pond, probably wouldn't wear my kits like as frequently as I do. But, you know, I like being basically a walking billboard for the club, because sometimes when I go hiking, people will stop me and be like, Sheffield United. And I'm like, yeah, bud.
Yeah.
But I agree with you that that goalkeeper kit is mint. In my opinion, that's probably one of the best goalkeeper kits that we've put out in like the last 10, 15 years, maybe since I've been supporting United. That's arguably my favorite goalkeeper kit. I'm kind of curious to see how it looks, you know, with long sleeves. I don't know if they're just making the short sleeve version or if there is going to be a long sleeve, but
yeah, that's what I was hoping too. When they showed Wes in that clip, or I think it was just a picture they posted, I hope they make it a long sleeve kit, because I'm torn between, do I want to get a short sleeve goalkeeper shirt, or do I just like hope that they make it in long sleeve, because I just don't see a goalkeeper shirt being short sleeve. But didn't Wes wear the green one last night? Was a short sleeve one, which I just think is completely weird.
Yeah,
for a goalkeeper to have short sleeves.
Yeah.
But you look back at when Rammers was keeper for us, he had short sleeves too, which I thought was so weird.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I want to purchase it as, you know, the short sleeve version. If they make a long sleeve version, I probably won't buy it. I will buy the short sleeve version as soon as I can rustle up some money here, man. Funds are tight right now. I don't know about on your end, but
well, this trip I'm about to go on is certainly going to be expensive. So
I mean.
I told you in text, I said, I'm about to blow a bunch of money in the club shop. Don't tell my girlfriend, but she doesn't know this. Yeah, I'm about to shell out some coin when I go over there. So,
safe to say she doesn't listen to the podcast then.
Yes. I'll tell her to skip this if she does. But yeah, I just because now we're gonna have okay, we're gonna have the first team home shirt, and then we're gonna have the away kit, and then the rumored third kit. So that's three kits, and then the goalkeeper kit. That's four possible kits I could get at what? I didn't even see the price of them. What are they, like £55? I would imagine is something like I think that's what they were last year. So, I mean, you're looking at like 200 quid for four shirts with no customization on them either.
Right, right. I was just about to say, if you want the patches, if you want customization on the back, I mean, yeah, you're shelling out a pretty penny there.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, granted, you know, the third kit will probably be the one, like always, that'll sell out if it's such an awesome, you know, kit like everybody says it will. So I might try and get my hands on that one because I didn't get our away shirt last year, and that kind of upset me because funds got tight, and then I went to go purchase it, and it was like either small or like 5X. And I'm like, well, could we have not made them more in like large or extra large? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's the club's doing. They just – it's supply and demand.
Yeah, if you want that away kit from last year, you're going to have to go on the secondary market now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and probably pay a pretty penny too.
And like you said, apparently the third kit is really mint. So, mm-hmm. you know, based on what Hal from Chef United Way said, apparently he's seen a copy of it or a picture of it, I should say. So we'll see. We'll see. This might be the year where I get all four kits, the home kit, the away kit, the third kit, and the keeper kit. I have to tell you, I know what I'm asking for Christmas this year.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's probably going to be me too. That was one thing that I I didn't understand why Wes didn't wear the kit that they unveiled yesterday.
It was too similar to the Watford shirt. That's why.
Oh yeah, it makes sense. I was like, yeah, I completely forgot to put the two together. But I was like, yeah, why the hell did they debut this? Why didn't? But I mean, why don't you just like wait and have him take the picture of him in the green kit and then just have him play in the green kit and like delay the goalkeeper kit a little bit longer. But I mean, that's all in the club. But when do you think they're going to announce the away kit? Like right before, when's our next away game? Middlesbrough?
Yeah, probably. You might not even get the opportunity to purchase the away kit.
No, well, that's the whole thing is based on what the email said when they sent it out yesterday. The club shop was closed to like outfit with all the new kits. And I'm not planning on going to the club shop the day of the match because it's going to be absolutely nuts. I'm going to go Sunday the day after, and they might be all sold out of kits. Who knows?
It's entirely plausible. Or you might just have to order it online. Once it drops, you order it online. You won't be able to pick it up. You'll have to fly back to Charlotte just to get your kit, mate.
Yeah, right. Well, in I'll be back in Sheffield later in that week. So I will, again, if I don't get it on Saturday or Sunday, I will pick it up most definitely probably when I'm back in Sheffield, I think on Wednesday or Thursday. So I would imagine the club bought an extra stock because – I guess that was what it boiled down to was we had shipping issues with the maker, I guess, was logistic issues. That's why it took so long to release the kit is what I was reading online. I don't know if I believe that or not, but that's what most of the people were saying, why we were one of the last ones to like debut it and like make it, put it out on our social medias because they had logistic shipping issues, I guess. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, I wasn't familiar with that at all, but I do want to move on here from our talk about the kits, and I want to talk about a bit of news that just broke today, and I'm not sure if any of the other podcasts have covered it yet. I actually do think Tufty Club did get this news before they got their pod out, but we have basically all but confirmed that James McAtee from Man City is going to be joining Sheffield United on loan, and this is yet another attacking center mid. So what's that now? Like basically four attacking center mid options that we have. Mm-hmm. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I like the looks of it. And don't get him confused with John McAtee, as I did earlier in the day when I said, well, we missed out on – there's false reports out there because I said Luton just signed John McAdee from, I think, Grimsby or something. And I was like, well, we missed on that one. And then I went back and read it, and I was like, okay, that must be his brother. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's his brother.
I mean, that would be, it'd be a cool, you know, addition to the team. And it looks like Hecky's now having trouble getting his players that he kind of wants in, albeit they're all on loans, all the players we got. But I mean, he's getting, we've got a solid lot of players that have come through the door.
I think what, you know, these top six teams are seeing is how good we did with Morgan Gibbs-White last season and how much his stock was raised, you know, just by, you know, his loan at Sheffield United. And I mean, if we can get half the production that we got from Morgan Gibbs-White, from McAtee, then that'll be phenomenal for us.
Yeah. And it sounds like, I was reading prior to us jumping on, it sounds like Manchester City, like, to allude more onto your point, Manchester City saw what we did with the law firm, and they want McAtee to have a bunch of first team playing time. So I don't know if, okay, we obviously made that promise because we're going to seal the deal soon. So is that one thing where he gets slotted right in the team, or does like a Kadra against Millwall on Saturday, where he comes in with about 25 minutes left to go in the game, 20 minutes to go. And, you know, after that, we're like, okay, if he's good enough, slot him in the team, you know?
Yep. Yep. That would be, I mean, another boost. I think he can only help at this point because, again, you know, that was part of the problem yesterday, was we just really lacked that bite in that attacking third. And ultimately, you know, that's why we weren't able to score any goals yesterday.
Yeah, agreed. The one thing I'm going to like to see is the Ndiaye Kadra pairing. When we get those two on the pitch together, whoa, boy, man, that is going to be deadly.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, to that point, and we're starting to get into our review of the match, I just think you can't look too much into one game. You know, there will be people moaning on Twitter, oh, you know, we look terrible in that game. We're definitely slated for a mid-table finish at this point. Again, one game, I'm not so pessimistic at this point. I thought that basically the whole game came down to one moment, one lapse in judgment from Jimmy Fleck and Reese Norrington Davies.
Mm-hmm.
And, but otherwise I thought we were okay. You know, poor to start out the season in that way. But again, you're going up against a recently relegated team. So.
No, that's fair thought. I mean, if it would have been against anybody that hadn't came down from the Prem last year, I think we would have got a draw out of it.
Yeah,
I don't think we would have lost that game.
Yeah,
if we play anybody besides Burnley, Watford, and Norwich, I think we just get a draw, and it probably stays 0-0 because we didn't, you know, as we're gonna go over in our match review here, we didn't offer anything going forward.
Yeah, so let's get into it here. Team news dropped yesterday, and you see no Anel due to a suspension that apparently the team didn't know about. And my question for you, Chad, is how the hell did we not know that our new £5 million signing had to serve a suspension?
Well, yeah, that's what I was wondering, because I watched the post-match interview with Hecky last night, and I said, how in the hell do we not know this dude had a one-game suspension? Like, does Malmo just be like, oh, yeah, get him over here and sign the dotted line, and then once it's done, they're like, okay, yeah, have fun. Oh, is there anything else you guys want to talk? No, we're good. And then it comes down. Apparently, they found out on Thursday that he couldn't play. I was like, I don't know if that's a lack of, like, tying up loose ends on our end. I'm assuming it would be. I don't know if it's in agreement that Malmo disclosed all that information. Or,
well,
you know,
well, it's public. It's public, isn't it? I mean, you should know how many yellow cards the lad had accrued over the course of his season at Malmo last season, you know?
But what was the infraction for? Was it just too many yellow cards, or was it a red card, or something?
I don't know.
I don't even know what it was.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. Because I don't even think they really said what it was. So, I mean, you would think that, hey, somebody at Sheffield United, when we sign this dude, they'd look him up and be like, hey, Hecky, he's got 17 red cards. That might be an infringement to start the upcoming season. Should we ask Melmo? No, we're good. Okay, we'll just hope they don't say anything. We'll put him in the starting 11. And then the phone rings. Oh, they found out about it. We can't have him play for, of all suspensions, too. It's just one game, which is real weird.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I mean, the team that we put out yesterday did not instill confidence among the supporters. I mean, we had a makeshift back line of Clark on the right, Egan in center, and Norrington Davies out on the left. So, you know, you have a left-footed center back playing on the right, and Norrington Davies, who's not really a center back. So we didn't even get to see our full back line yesterday. And, I mean, it was apparent. It was apparent very early on that we were kind of struggling to get out of the back, and I really think it comes down to, you know, Clark playing out of position, basically, and Norrington Davies, who's not a bona fide center back.
Yeah, I mean, that lineup. And then, I mean, the lineup didn't make sense. And then you go all the way to the top of the pitch and Brewster's on the bench.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he has a great preseason. Well, not great. He has an okay preseason. Okay. And you stick him on the bench. What's that going to do for his confidence? You know?
Yeah. I didn't really understand that either. Was he like trying to teach him a lesson? Like, hey, you're not, you know, he scored what, 4 or 5 goals in preseason. Why not go with a hot hand? Yeah, honestly, when he came in the game, he didn't really make an impact anyway. But, I mean, just go with a hot hand. Jebo had potted some goals as well, but it really didn't make sense to me.
But with that being said, ultimately, I thought Jebo looked better.
Yeah.
But yeah, 100%. It's a small sample size from Brewster. You know, he got, what, 22 minutes?
Yeah, he didn't get very long. And that's the one thing. I don't know if Hecky sees more speed in Jebo and if these back lines are going to play a higher back line. Does he see Jebo able to get behind the back line and a ball over the top on the front of it and he slots it home? Is that what he sees? I don't know. I mean, that could be the only thing that I would think. But, yeah, Jebo looked okay. I mean, I wouldn't say anybody besides probably Ndiaye had a good game.
Yeah, I thought Ndiaye probably had the best game out of anybody from our side. But anyway, let's jump into it right here. First chance came to Watford, 5th minute. Dennis got the ball down the left-hand side. He put through Sarr, who put it into the side netting. And, I mean, we really weren't offering that much going forward to start the game, not until, like, about 20 minutes in. Dennis got into the area in, like, the 12th minute, and after a pass from João Pedro, he took a shot that was blocked out by Egan and into Wes's hands. And then right after that, Clark went into the book very early for a poor foul on Emmanuel Dennis. What did you make of Dennis in this game? I mean, he really looks to be a good player and probably too good for the championship, I'd say.
Well, yeah, that's what I saw when I looked at their lineup. And the fact that Dennis and Sarr, now Sarr didn't have a very good game yesterday. He had an okay game. But like Dennis, I mean, yeah, he is definitely, he's almost like a Morgan Gibbs-White of last year, but I'd say more polished and more better than where the law firm was. But yeah, he definitely is probably not going to be on Watford's side come the end of the transfer window. By the time that door closes, I don't think him or Sarr are going to be, you know, on their squad.
Yeah. I mean, the rumors are really starting to circulate regarding Dennis. I've heard that Wolves are in for him, as well as a couple of other, you know, top-level Premier League teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's so crazy that it's taken this long and the season started, and now everybody, like, kind of realizes, you know, wow, this Emmanuel Dennis at Watford, he's a good player. It's like, no shit. Like, I mean, I think he was their top scorer last year with, like, 10 goals in the Prem. I was like, he should not be playing in the league below.
Yeah. Yeah, probably a good shout. So a bad giveaway by Berge in our half of the pitch leads to a turnover, and the ball is placed to Sarr, who finds Dennis like right in the middle of the box. Like, he does not get a good quality strike on it, and it is easily saved by Wes. 20th minute, Njaye, who, as we kind of alluded to, was our best player, he gets out of trouble, some good footwork. He puts a pass to Norwood, who finds Berge about 22 yards out on the right-hand side. He takes a hard, low shot that doesn't really test the keeper, Bachmann. I mean, it's on the ground, and it's easy as you like for Bachmann.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably, what, our only attempt of the first half. I mean, and that was an easy save. It was straight to him. So it's like, okay, we're going to – when Sandy Barge took that shot, I was like, yeah, this is how this game's going to go. We're not going to have anything. And Watford had the ball in our half for most of the half, as which they had it in our half for most of the game. And it was just like, okay, are we just going to sit here and try and defend – for the entire game and catch him on a counterattack, or we're going to show anything? And this was like one of our glimpses of doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. 22nd minute, Kamara put in a ball from the right-hand side from Watford's perspective, and Dennis got ahead to it, but directed it out of play and to the left for a goal kick. And then things went a little off the rails in the 24th minute as Njaye won a free kick and then was promptly pushed by Serralta, I want to say is how you pronounce that name. And then Fleck got involved. He put his hands on Serralta's throat and could have been more than a yellow, but that's all he ended up receiving in the end.
Yeah, got a little out of hand. I mean, there was it started to kind of like boil over during, you know, like the Kieran Clark, when he got a yellow card, I was like, here we go. Are we going to have another new boy sent off on their debut? And then it kind of like hotted up after that. And then this incident, where did that come from? See, when Fleck got into this incident, this is when Jimmy Fleck came out. It was Johnny Fleck and then Jimmy Fleck came out because he must have wanted to get into a benches clearing brawl.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought Fleck had such a poor game. I mean, made an argument to not be starting. And now considering, you know, the amount of center middles that we have, I don't see him starting. I think at the end of the day, maybe you play Berge a little bit further back and then you push either forward, either a Tommy Doyle or, you know, a Kadra up with Njaye.
Yeah, I would agree with that because I don't know. I think this is our last – I think Flex number of games are numbered, if I can say so much, because I agree with you. He didn't play good yesterday, and neither did his midfield co-partner, Ollie Norwood. I didn't think he really played. I mean, he was he was just kind of there.
I thought he was the better of the two, personally, Norwood.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, he didn't – I wouldn't say he overtly impressed me, but at the same time, he did some – little things, right? I mean, he was pinging balls around, and he provided really the only service to our forward players, more forward players.
Yeah. Was he the one that took the corner kick and it hit the front man? I forget when it was late in the game and we had a corner and they kicked it and it hit the front man. I was like, yeah.
No, because Norwood came off.
Oh, did he? I don't know who took that corner then.
Must have been Fleck. Must have been Fleck.
I didn't know if it was him or Fleck that took the corner late in the game and smashed the Watford player in front post. Like, he didn't even make it to the front post. He made it just barely inside the box and smoked the dude. And it went out of play. And I was like, yeah, okay, this one's over.
Yeah. Yeah. 29th minute, cleverly passed to Kayembe, who took a shot from outside the box that was blocked by Norwood. And that's what he did do well in this game. He put in some good tackles. He blocked a couple of shots. So I think defensively, he didn't play that badly, Norwood, but at the same time, you know, lacked that little bit of quality just to place the ball exactly perfect. But I mean, it's a hard skill and he does it well, like 70% of the time, you know?
Yeah. No, I would agree.
One of our only like real good chances came in the 35th minute off of a free kick taken by Wes just outside the penalty area. He finds Jebison, who heads it for Njaye, who is in on the keeper and in the box. He took a hard, low shot, and it was saved well by Bachmann, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think Njai has to do a little bit better there, and I texted you as much when that happened. But I mean, it was a bang on chance, and like I said, he just could not place it correctly.
Yeah, if he places it another, I don't know, little bit to one side, he slots it home, and that probably turns the game in our favor, because at that point, Watford was kind of, you know, getting a strong hold of the game when we weren't really doing much. And it kind of felt like we were, like I said earlier, we were just going to play on the counter attack.
Yeah.
And nothing doing for us. And maybe we'll get one or two chances. And this, we've talked about this so much on this pod. When we do that, we have to take our chances, because if we're only going to get two chances, we have to take both of them. And we never do. We always miss out on them, and it ends up either costing us the game or it just ends up as a draw.
Yep. Yep. 42nd minute, Sema on the left-hand side put in a brilliant cross for Pedro, who gets a almost perfect head on it, and he tries to put it into the right-hand corner of the net, but League One Wes was there. Good save. Caught it on the fly. Did not bobble it. And, I mean, it just seems that Wes is kind of carrying on his form from last season. The goal really can't be blamed on Wes, that we'll talk about in a little bit here.
Yeah, I mean, he looked good to me. You know, obviously, you can't beat 2-on-1. You can't beat that.
Yeah,
I mean, the goal's so big for 2-on-1. I mean, he has no chance.
45th minute, another really good chance for United as Badgay through the middle plays a nice through ball for Balduck on the right-hand side. He cuts it back for Jebison, who takes it first time, almost tries to, like, dink the keeper, and it takes a desperation tip from Bachmann to save it, basically.
Yeah, it was a good effort. 100% it was a good effort. I mean, it just got tipped away, and, you know, another good save.
If that is, like, either to the left or to the right, I think he has a much tougher time trying to save that.
Oh, 100%. It probably goes in. I think it's got a chance to go in, yeah.
So into stoppage time, about 38 yards out right before the half, Norwood takes it. He finds Egan out on the right-hand side, who heads it over the bar, always rising that header. And then we come to halftime. And thoughts on overall on that first half before we kind of get into the second half here, Chad?
Missed a couple of chances, you know, like we talked about. They go either way, a few inches either way. You know, we might have a goal on the board, but nothing to show for, you know, a pretty much half.
Yeah. So the second half starts, and I mean, it's just back and forth, exchanging possession. I will say that Watford had the majority of the possession, you know, to start off that second half. But in the 55th minute, we win a corner and Stevens goes down. He's promptly replaced by Lowe. I don't know how bad that injury is. At the end of the day, as far as our left wing is concerned, wing back is concerned, God, I don't know who I would play there, because Lowe was just as poor as Stevens was.
Yeah, he was terrible. I saw something on, I think it was Hal, made a spoof of the Blades calling Forrest and saying, "Hey, you guys remember the player you wanted to buy from us, Max Lowe? Well, he's available. You can take him right now. You can give us." And they like hung up halfway through. Yeah, he was poor. He was absolutely poor. I mean, where is this world beater they said he was at Forest, and then he comes back in the lineup? He played okay in a couple of the preseason games, but then this one, it just like a stinker, man.
Yeah, there was one moment where he had the ball down the left-hand side and in a really good crossing position, and he just like crossed it, and it like went all the way across the box. There was nobody around.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
He looked lost out there.
Yeah. What a shambles. And so we had that corner, and everybody knows off of that corner, Norwood takes like a worked corner to Fleck, and he makes an absolute mess of it by attempting a low shot that is blocked, and Watford start the other way. Kamara starts away with it, puts a pass that is somehow dummied by both Fleck and Norrington Davies. It finds Dennis. He gets it to Sarr. Sarr dribbles to the box. He puts in a cross for a wide open João Pedro, and it's just a simple tap in finish. From start to finish, really, really poor.
Yeah.
From the corner to the defensive effort to get back, because look, we had all of our center backs lumped into the box, and so they're like trying to get back, and yeah, just an absolute mess made of that.
The thing I want to know is, because I knew we were in trouble when we worked the corner short to Fleck and it got blocked. And I looked, I was like, man, everybody's in the box. We ain't got nobody besides West back there. I was like, we are screwed. And then, like, the convoy got back. Like, they asked Heckie in the post-match interview. He's like, the convoy got back. He's like, something broke down between R&D and Fleck. And it was like, when the play happened, it was like Fleck dummied the ball and must have thought somebody was back there, and nobody was back there. And that, because if he just clears that out, if he just steps up and kicks that ball out of play, okay, it's a throw into Watford and we get everybody back and we kind of reset. But he dummies it, lets it slide to the Watford player Sarr, and then he puts it in and is able to go and have Pedro score the goal. But it's just like, what are you doing there, man? Just get, you see you don't have numbers and we're retreating in droves. Kick the ball out of play and let's reset.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, that almost puts an exclamation point on how bad he was, because it's like, that's almost, I feel like that's almost routine to do that. Like, when you're retreating in numbers is against you, just get it out, stop the play, follow somebody, do something.
Yeah. I and how many of those have we conceded over the last couple of years? I just feel like, you know, especially in that season when we went down from the Prem, I just feel like we had that happen maybe 7 or 8 times that season.
Yeah.
Where we conceded off of a corner. And on Tufty Club, I can't remember if it was Dead Bat who said it, but or Mark, I'm not 100% sure, but one of them said, I like, look at the stat. Have we conceded more goals from corner kicks than we've scored in the last 3 years?
Yeah, it's probably got to be somewhere close. And the one thing I want to know is, at what point do we go from, we're going to have all our big center backs up in the box, oh, you know what, I'm going to work this short, and then think that, hey, if this goes south, we are going to be screwed in numbers. You know, if you're going to do something stupid like that, maybe drop a couple more players deep. And yeah, I get leaving our center backs up because you want to have all their big players up in there. But if you're going to have this work set play, how many times did we do this last year and we only scored off of it once? So, I mean, the odds are against us is going to get blocked out and cleared out. So I think we just kind of drop that. And, you know, we got a little bit more size in there with Kieran Clark. And then NL, when he gets back from a suspension.
Right.
Let's just lump the ball in there, man.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. Agreed. I mean, the height that we have now compared to last year, I think we're a lot more deadly if we can just find a head in the box.
Yeah. Uh-huh, 100%.
And now Ahmed Hodzic is going to be, you know, at least a head taller than a lot of the players that are going to be defending him in the box off of set pieces.
Yeah, and not to mention how much bigger Sandy Barge is than, I mean, what, 80% of the midfield players in the league? I mean, yeah. So you're telling me does he have concrete ankles or something that don't allow him to jump up off the ground and try and head something home? Every time a corner goes in, you don't see him do anything, basically.
Yeah. Heading's not really his game. I mean, it's been said multiple times that is not really how he plays.
Yeah. I mean, shit, I'd work on it, dude. You can always get better. There's always something you can get better at.
Yeah, for sure. If he can, you know, improve that part of his game and start banging him in off of headers from corners, I mean, that increases his value.
You know?
And obviously he wants to go. I mean, it's been said multiple times, he wants to go to a Champions League contending side. So you want to get into a Champions League contending side? Like, that is a part of your game that needs to improve and, you know, creates a more complete player, I'd say, overall.
Exactly.
So 58th minute, Kamara took a shot that was high. In the 68th minute, we made a triple change, and we took off Norwood for Osborne. Kadru replaced Clark, which was kind of an interesting decision. You know, we kind of moved to a back four at that point. And then Brewster came in for Jebison. And I personally don't understand why we took Norwood off. I thought he was, you know, probably one of our more creative players and was really one of the only center mids who could get the ball up to our attacking players, as I said before. So I don't understand it. It was just frustrating for me watching.
I wonder if this, I hate to say like this is still preseason for Hecky. And us, because, you know, like the caliber of the opponent, you know, it's almost because like some of these changes don't really, the Kadra for Clark, I think he wanted to get Clark out of the game so he didn't get another yellow card and get him sent off. But I wonder if he's just plugging these pieces in to see if anything, we got magic out of any spot we didn't see coming in the game. Obviously, Kadra, you don't want to put him in because he just came through the door. So you're going to give him limited minutes. But I wonder if he was just trying to make something work out of the players he had right now, and he's still trying to find out what players are what, you know?
Yeah.
Even though it kind of, some of these changes didn't make sense, you know? I might be reading, thinking too much into it, but, you know, I mean, at 78th minute, Ndiaye comes out for Billy Sharp. Really? I mean, does that really make much sense?
Yeah, I don't know. And considering he played, you know, 120 against Forrest in that second leg, it's just weird to me, you know?
Yeah, I just...
He doesn't have... He shouldn't be having fitness issues at this point.
Yeah, right?
You know, he came back looking stronger, in my humble opinion, at times during this game than he was at times last year.
Yeah. I mean, no, you're right. You're definitely right.
So when Kadra came on, I mean, his first touch was really good on the ball. I mean, he made a long run and, you know, it was a little bit more lateral. And I think he ended up just putting a ball like into Watford defender's feet. But, you know, when he's solo on the ball, I think he looks really, really good. And I'm kind of excited for him to get a full 90 for us. I hope he does at the weekend.
Yeah. In what I drew off of it too was that he tried to be like the law firm, but it almost like, you know, when the law firm would take the ball forward and then kind of like get squirrely and lose control of the ball. That's what I felt Kadra was doing. Like he would have a good run and then it would just all of a sudden the ball would scurry away from him and it would change hands and it would go back to Watford. So I felt like, you know, he's probably still trying to get his feet under him. Obviously, first game, first 20 minutes for the Blades. But, I mean, I think he's going to be a very good player for us.
Yeah. One would hope so, right?
Yeah.
72nd minute, Sarr missed to the right after a pass from Sema. And really, from that point, not much happened as far as attacking prowess from United was concerned. We couldn't get anything in the attacking third, really, for the rest of the game. And, I mean, really, from that 72nd minute, not much happened on either end. Nary a shot, really. I mean, we'd get the ball. I thought we were better there, but, you know, as far as action is concerned, I mean, we just kept possession for the majority of that, what, final 18 minutes of the game plus stoppage. But we never looked threatening. Never.
No, we passed it around in the back a lot. And I was like, okay, I guess we're okay with seeing this game out and not having any attacking chances in the final third. I guess we're okay to just ride it out and just take the loss. Yep. Which, you know, I almost felt like after we conceded, we just kind of like waved the flag and we're like, this one's over. We're just going to try and work something like a bit of magic to maybe get back in this game. But we weren't, we knew we kind of weren't going to.
Yeah. It's tough for me to say. Really, because I think they did want to try, but I just think we just didn't have it. We just didn't have it. And Watford just looked, in this game, too strong for us.
And I think it's something, Watford looked ready to go. Watford looks like you know, obviously you got to see what happens in the transfer window. If they lose those two players, then it's really going to affect their side. But if they keep them, Watford should easily, you know, make their way back into the Prem. But we looked like we were a step or two behind. And I don't know, the guys on Do Not Scratch Your Eye Twitter space I was on after the game, I jumped on and I was listening. They, with them being up in the Prem and then coming down and them not winning as much, and now they start off on the winning foot. They're like, okay, we don't have to be at our exact best every single game to get a result. And they clearly weren't. They probably had a couple more gears to go through as well last night, and probably could have, if they would have been in mid-season form, beat the hell out of us. But, you know, it's that type of deal. I don't know if with our players being conditioned for the championship and the rigors of a 46-game schedule, is it going to take us five games to get situated? You know, jostling some players around, throws some players in here and there to kind of figure out, all right, let's, now we're five games in and let's go. I know last year was what? It took us, what, 15 games in till we finally kind of figured it out what we were doing. So I like to, inside of five games, have something figured out.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So I think that pretty much wraps up our review. Chad, who was your man of the match for Sheffield United?
I got to say, and I.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be. He looked our most creative player out there, our most threatening. And I mean, we just have to get him going. We have to get him some good service, and we have to let him, you know, be able to do what he does best. Control the ball, attack, distribute where he can, and then, you know, with good finishes after getting the ball in a dangerous area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So coming up, we are going to have a discussion with That Millwall Podcast. This was recorded on Sunday, so obviously prior to our match. But really quickly, before we get to that, I just want to ask you, Chad, who do you see starting for Sheffield United come this Saturday?
Well, I think that we will be back to normal in the back, and unless some mysterious 15-game ban for NL, that we didn't read the fine print that Malmo sent us, he'll be in the back. I think you're going to see Kadra come in. I don't know if Fleck comes out. Does Fleck or Norwood come out and Kadra come in? And I wonder if Brewster, I think Brewster probably starts in front of the home crowd at Bramall Lane. I sure shit hope he does, because I want to see that main man up front start at home for us on Saturday. But those are the only three changes I think come in. Barring whatever's wrong with Stevens, if it keeps him out, I guess Max Lowe comes in there. I don't know. Hopefully a much improved Max Lowe. I mean, those are probably the only three or four changes I could see happening on our side.
Yeah, so breaking it down for me, I have Fotheringham, Balduk on the right, wing back, Anel Ahmedhodzic, Egan, and Clark. And then Norrington Davies starting above either Lowe or Stevens.
Okay.
I've got Norwood, Berge, Kadra, Njaye. And I, too, want to see Rian Brewster start on Saturday.
Yeah.
So it's on paper. On paper, it's a strong lineup. On paper, yeah. That is a strong lineup.
Oh, for sure. The one thing, too, you know who had a good low-key game behind Njaye was Baldock. Baldock, I thought Baldock played good, running down the flanks, chasing after balls. He put in a couple good crosses.
Yeah.
You know, he looked to have a decent game.
Yeah, I'd say he was probably, you know, one of the better players, but
yeah.
I just overall was not a phenomenal game from our side.
No, not at all.
So now we are going to turn it over to our conversation with That Millwall Podcast. Well, Chad, we have a game coming up this Saturday. It is our first home game of the season, and it is against Millwall. And from That Millwall Podcast, we have Mickey and Chris joining us. How's it going, fellas?
Yeah, good, mate. All good, all good. Thanks for inviting us on.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, chaps.
So you have started your season very well indeed. Yesterday, from our perspective here, you played Stoke. You beat them 2-0. And were either of you at that game? Because as I understand, it was at the Den.
Yeah, both of us were there.
Yeah.
How was that?
I think it was a superb game. I think it was nice to see the players actually start playing a bit of competition football rather than seeing them in friendlies. I think we set up fairly different to how we'd done in the pre-seasons, but there were some players there who were just, they're hungry. And I think, you know, where they're looking to be come the end of the season, you can start seeing that's the direction they're looking to go in.
For sure.
Yeah, I agree with what Mickey said. I think that I'm going to be honest, I was a little bit worried with the pre-season performances, especially towards the back end of pre-season. It didn't feel that we looked fit enough. We weren't really gelling in the way that we played. We were sort of trying to play. But it just shows you that you can't really take too much into consideration when it comes to pre-season, because we were superb yesterday. We looked really fit, really hungry. When it got to 60, 70 minutes, the Stoke started to tire. We didn't. And we've got that difference this year. We've got a bit more strength in depth, which I think is going to help us with the extensive schedule due to the World Cup.
So you kind of alluded to it there. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on the transfer window thus far. Obviously, Jed Wallace is no longer in your side anymore.
Jed who? Sorry. JW stands now. Instead of Jed Wallace, it stands for Jed who.
Love it.
But what do you think about the business that you've done thus far in the transfer window? And, you know, what are some more pieces that you think your side is going to need to push forward into the championship season?
Yeah, I think we've had a really good transfer window, considering, obviously, that should not be named has moved on. We needed to do some business to create different ways to attack and score goals, because ultimately he'd hit double figures pretty much for both goals and assists for many, many years. So that's not easy to replace regardless of the situation. So we brought in five players. The two lads from Leeds, obviously they're a rival of ours, and we've become a little bit of a feeder club by the looks of it. But both had really, really strong debuts yesterday. Both started, and I would expect them to keep their places against you guys. George Honeyman came in from Hull, a real Millwall-type player, industrious. He's just exactly what a Millwall fan would want. He's a dream for a Millwall fan, and he's got a bit of quality about him too. He had a good debut. Benik Afobe returned to the club, and he's got a little bit of a hero, I think, down there. He's got a nice little fan base, and I think he feels at home there, which is great. He's not had the easiest of the last few years, so really pleased for him. And I am missing someone.
You're missing the Dutch boy.
I'm missing the Dutch boys because he didn't play yesterday. So we broke our. How can I miss him? We broke our transfer record, 1.7 million. I know. Blades fans will probably be laughing at that, but that is our transfer record. And we signed Zian Fleming from the Dutch League. Got double figures last season in Dutch League goals assists. So he's going to take a bit of time. He didn't start yesterday. He looks a fraction of a second behind the pace of the championship game, but you can tell he's got undoubted quality. So give him a bit of time, and I think he's going to be a really good player for us. We do need a couple more. We need a little bit more pace. Our attacking play yesterday was good, but it is quite one-dimensional. And if a team figures us out, we could be in a bit of bother. So we lack a little bit of pace. And I think we do lack another forward option. As out-and-out strikers, we only have Tom Bradshaw and Benik Afobe in terms of senior players. Both of them have been injured in the past quite extensively. So I think we need another forward option. If we can add those two players, I genuinely see no reason why we can't challenge for the top six this year. Mickey, I don't know what you think, mate.
So what I'm hearing is you guys need another Ollie Burke is basically
what I'm hearing. You can keep him.
I mean, to be fair, Ollie Burke did bring something different to the squad for us. He's got quick pace, and he wasn't afraid to run at a player, and he can put the ball through. So yeah, ideally we would like someone like him. Unfortunately, we didn't get him back. We thought it was all going to be happening. We didn't get him back. I know you boys don't like him. For whatever reason, but he was okay for us. When he did get games, he was good for us. Maybe, you know, he needed to come and play for a real team rather than, you know, a Sheffield-based team. But hey-ho, you know, we have that effect on players. So yeah. But at least we've got a defender scoring goals. So that's a result for us if our strikers can't score it.
I love also, Chris, what you said about George Honeyman, like, and how much of a Millwall player he is, because we absolutely hated him, both home and away, at Hull last year. Oh, he was such a twat. He was probably my least favorite player to play against last year, just because he gets stuck in there and just do the little things that annoy the ever-loving shit out of you. And yeah, so I mean, if you guys are gonna love him, I think it's a fair shout that you guys are gonna love him if he plays your style of football.
I think he's one of those players that if he plays for you, you love him, and if he doesn't play for you, that's quite fair. The opposite. I think he's that sort of player, to be honest with you. But I would already tip him to be in our top three for player of the year at the end of the season, because he's just got that Millness about him. He is a bit horrible, and we need that. We need players at the club that buy into what Mill is about, but also have a bit of quality about us, because obviously we're looking to try and progress and one day make it to the promised land, like you guys have done a few times.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because it's almost become like a cliche that you hear from Millwall fans sometimes, that you almost prefer playing in the Championship. I've heard that from several Millwall fans over the year, but you know, obviously everybody's idea is to make it to the Prem at some point. And I mean, since the Prem has been the Prem, you lot have not been up there. So, I mean, is it a fair statement that, you know, you really want to try to push in the next couple of years to get up to the Prem?
I think it's about the money. It's about the money more than anything else.
I think that's fair. I mean, that's obviously why we want to get back up there. I mean, I think, you know, if we went and got promoted this year, we'd get absolutely thrashed by everyone next year. Maybe, you know, you hope to just make it into 17th place. But we do not have the same squad that we did, you know, even a few years ago. And I think we would definitely struggle if we somehow found a way to make it back to the Prem. But you're right. It is about that money, and it's about the exposure for the club as well, because, you know, people like for United, folks were like, well, who's this Sheffield United? They play an interesting style of football, the overlapping center backs. And I think that's what drove some, you know, as we were saying before we jumped on here, drove some Americans to support the Blades now. So Chad, do you want to ask them the next question that we have on our list here?
Yeah, I wanted to add to the Championship is so much more interesting than the Prem, though. I just hate the, right, you know, the glamour and glitz. It's all about the top six teams. Everybody knows that. And, you know, we just be bottom feeders. So I like playing in the Championship week to week, because everybody's more competitive, because on any given weekend, anybody can beat anybody.
100%.
So what do you guys – what's your thoughts on your result, your win against Stoke yesterday? What are your thoughts? You guys think you're going to piss the league and go undefeated and go up, or are we going to bring you back to reality at Bramall Lane this weekend?
It's at this stage of the season, it's really difficult to kind of benchmark where you are. There's been quite a lot of clubs that have done a lot of transfer business and completely changed their teams, their managers. There's been a bit of a manager merry-go-round as well. I mean, you only look at Cardiff yesterday. You know, I think they had like 9 new starting players, played against Norwich, who have been there, done that, got the T-shirt multiple times, and they beat them 1-0. So back to your point, the Championship is so unpredictable. I don't think Stoke are a bad side. I think that they have tried to change their play, their players by going a little bit younger and going a little bit more dynamic. And they're going to do some more business based on what I've read. So I don't think Stoke are going to be a bad side. I think they will be in the top 10, definitely in the top half next this season. So a 2-0 win against them, you'll take all day long. You guys are a different property because, you know, you ended the season really well last year. You have some players that, let's be honest, shouldn't be in the Championship. They should be in a much better league. Sander Berger is a key example. I really like the Kadra that you've just signed on loan. He's a good player. Showed a lot of good glimpses last season at Blackburn. So you've got some good players, and you'll be very well organised under Heckingbottom. And Bramall Lane is a similar type of ground to the Den, where when you fans get behind them, it's a really good atmosphere. So it's going to be a very difficult game. I know you've had indifferent pre-season results. They've sort of been a bit up and down. So it's a real tough one to call, gents. It really is. But it'll be a very good game.
It'll be ours. We're going to return road just to upset a few Sheffield United fans, I know. And also, well, we're top of the league. We've got to maintain that now, haven't we? Do you know what I mean? So, never in our wildest dreams would I have thought on the first day, on the opening game of the season, one, we would have won 2-0. And two, we'd be top of the league. And we've got a defensive player who's leading the goal-scoring challenge at the minute. Do you know what I mean? But to say, you know, Creswell is a phenomenal player. Chris done something, what we've started this season, which is sort of like a match analysis after the game. I mean, you know, have a listen of it. If you listen to this, have a listen to it on YouTube. It's called Chat with Chaps. And he just gives his views when he leaves the ground. And the amount of comments and stuff from Leeds fans, where beforehand, when we wanted a comment from Leeds fans, no one would speak to us because of the hatred of us. No one would speak to us. We couldn't get another podcast to come on and give us 5 minutes of what sort of players we've got from them. But now, all of a sudden, you look at their comments, they're all positive, going, you know, they've gone to the best club. That's the best club to bed them in. Your fans are like ours. The atmosphere's like ours. They are, you know, cracking people. They're going to be playing, you know, Creswell potentially is going to be playing for England. He's going to be playing for the Prem. He is a phenomenal. For a kid who's 19, his head is so screwed up and he's so level-headed. I mean, I was lucky enough. I took someone into the VIP area yesterday and I was lucky enough to be in there and watched his man of the match speech. And for a 19-year-old lad, he spoke so much sense and he was in shock. He was just buzzing because he never in his wildest dreams thought he was going to score one goal on his debut, let alone two goals, and win the game because of his goals. And, you know, you see the videos of you afterwards and he's in shock. But if he carries on like that, he'll become a Millwall folk hero, mate, even though he is a Leeds boy, but he will definitely become a Millwall folk hero. So, yeah, definitely that is one to watch out for because he's a dangerous boy.
They say don't fall in love with the lone player, right? But based on
that, we did last year.
We've done it too many times, mate. Chris Wood. And, do you know what I mean? So, yeah,
we fell in love with Morgan Gibbs-White last year. You know, he was far and away one of the best players in the entire championship. And all around, you know, obviously he didn't have the goal scoring prowess of a Mitro, but like his just all around play was what made him, you know, endeared himself to the Sheffield United supporters. And it sounds like you've got quite a player in Creswell. And so I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how he continues to develop throughout the season. What are your thoughts on Sheffield United this upcoming season? Where do you reckon we'll finish?
I've got you in the top six. I think that based on the back end of last season, when you kind of had a bit of a structure together, yeah, okay, you don't have Morgan Gibbs-White, but I guess you'll be hoping that Kadra can fill that void. Whether he's as good as Gibbs-White or not, we'll have to hold judgment. A fit Brewster could be good for you guys as well. I know you've added a couple of players at the back as well to try, and I think you spent $3 million on a centre half. I've never heard of. I'm not even going to claim to try and say that I have or pronounce his name.
It was more, and the name is Anel Ahmed Hadzic.
Or as I say, Jezic.
Him. Yeah.
That fella there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's highly rated. I know you picked Blackburn to his signature and you spent quite a lot of money on him. So you've done some good business. You kept the core of your squad together other than Gibbs-White. So a bit like us, you probably lost your best player from, I don't know if Jed Wallace was our best player last year, but we'll go with it just for that. So I still have you in the top six. You know, we've already said this. Some of the players you've got would walk into any team in the Championship. I think that COVID probably impacted our two clubs a lot more than others, because I think that we as fans are, I am biased, but I also think that Sheffield United fans will also appreciate Millwall is a very similar type of club. So I think it impacted both of us a lot more than other clubs. So I think you'll be in the top six. I think there'll be pressure on Heckingbottom if you're not in the top six come sort of Christmas time. Because I know he was a bit of a at the time a bit of an odd appointment after Jokanović went. Or, well, that's the way it seemed for as an outsider's point of view anyway. So, but yes, I do have you in the top six, but let's just hope that you you can beat Watford, but let's just hope you you don't get a win on your first home game.
I don't want my hopes to be dashed the first time at Bramall Lane and we lose to Millwall.
But you lot are always a bogey team for us. For whatever reason, whenever we play you, you beat us.
Because we have Jake Cooper.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. If you put a bet on Jake Cooper to score any time, mate, you'll win your money back. Jake Cooper loves your team. He loves to score. He loves to upset you. And I think we'll probably get a win against you, to be fair. Probably be a 2-1 or 3-1, you know, or 3-2. But I don't think we're going to spank you. But I do think we'll probably get a win out of you, pure and simply because we're riding on the back of the victory from yesterday. So I think that positivity with, a few of the young lads in the team, I think will drive us forward. So, yeah, all depends as well how we do on Tuesday, I suppose. You know, we've got a Tin Pot Cup game on Tuesday with Cambridge United. So it all depends on how well we do then to, you know, if we get stuffed 10-0, then yeah, hey-ho, you're probably going to beat us on Saturday. So.
I have every confidence that you'll beat Cambridge United.
Yeah, famous last words there. We've had every confidence
that's
before.
True, because you might not be starting your first team. You might get the kids in.
Yeah, he'll rotate.
It'll be a good team, you think?
I think he'll rotate the team.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be the same team that faces you, but I think you'll have a few players in there that probably might play or might sit on the bench. I think you'll have Bury and BT and people like that in there. You'll probably have Danny Mack might play. But I think some of the, you know, Creswells and the like will probably be rested and ready for Sheffield, and probably a Phobia will be rested. Bradshaw might even be. Put Benny on, get him some minutes. Probably puts Fleming on as well just to get some minutes. But yeah, I don't think it'll be the same 11 what we played yesterday at all. Could be wrong. Yeah.
Chris, you were talking earlier about, a push for the top six. That's the goal this season. Where do you see Millwall finishing in the table? Like, can you give us an exact position?
If only I have one of those crystal
Mickey's
balls.
Holding up one finger for number one and champions of the championship this year.
Automatically promoted.
I'm the pessimist. Mickey's the confident one that thinks we're going to come and beat you comfortably. I'm the pessimist. So I think a lot of it, and I said this in my post-match analysis of the game on Saturday, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. It's one win. It was a good performance. It was a deserved win against a team I don't think are any mugs, but it was just one win. We've got the likes of yourselves, Swansea, Norwich in our sort of first 8 to 10 games. They're I would expect all three of you to be in and amongst the top six. So that's when we'll start to benchmark where we are. I do think we still need to do a bit more business in the transfer window. Obviously, it's open for, I think, another couple of weeks yet. And I would expect us to bring a couple more players in. Based on the squad we have now, I'm going to go with 7th or 8th, narrowly just missing out. But I think, it would resemble progress for the club. I think each and every single year, all we can try and do is just gradually, expand the budget that little bit more. We're still one of the smaller budgets in the league, and just try and chip away at that top six. But who knows? Who knows? A little bit more business and the right players coming in. No injuries, although our captain's already injured, and a top six could be on the cards for us.
And look, I mean, on a shoestring budget, Luton basically proved that they can do it. Getting to the playoffs last season, and they've narrowly lost out to Huddersfield in their playoff game. So I really think there's the most parity in this league rather than any other league, maybe in all of Europe. I don't know definitively because I don't closely follow the Swedish leagues or any of the Scandinavian leagues. But I'd say that this league is arguably the most competitive in all of football in Europe. So Mickey, where do you see? I mean, you said number one. You said champions.
Yeah,
this
no,
year.
So I don't think we're going to win it. Let's be honest. You know, I think there's bigger teams out there that have spent more money, got more money behind them. But I do think for the first time in a long time that the players seem to be focusing on the aim of the season. Potentially could be Premiership. You know, could be promotion. Where normally the aim of the season is to finish mid-table. You know, the manager would always say, oh, we're looking to, you know, finish 10th place or above, and that would be a result. And then when they get near the playoffs, it's, well, let's see if we can get into the playoffs. And all, like last season, you know, well, we've got 17 games to go. We're going to treat everyone as our cup final, and we'll see where we go with that. You know, and if we can get in there, we get in there. It seems as if there's a different mentality now where they're not looking down, they're just looking up. I think we're going to be finishing in the top six. I think I've put them down as five or six. They're about four, five or six around there. And I don't think it's unachievable. We've got the players, what could get us there. We've got the passion, the commitment. The fans would be there to back them up. And also, I would love us to get, you know, I would love us to get to the top spot pure and simply because the FA and the Premier League would be having crisis meeting after crisis meeting after crisis meeting, and they would be panicking that, you know, Millwall is potentially coming into the Premier League, and, you know, their lovely brand is possibly going to get ruined in one season.
I mean, when was the last time you had a derby with the Hammers?
2000, when was that? 2003, 2004, when was that? I can't remember now. 2000, like no, it was 2000, Jackie was there, so it'd be 2008, wouldn't it? When we played them in the cup game, in the Carling Cup.
Yep. At Upton Park. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would want to see you back in the Prem just for that.
That would be awesome.
I'll be honest with you.
It'll be a 6 a.m. kickoff. Do you know what I mean? No pubs shut. All the pubs shut in the whole of London, mate. It'll be a, do you know what I mean? It'll be a mad one. It'll be interesting. But then, you know, you look at that. It's not just West Ham what you need to watch out for. Everton, Liverpool, Man United, Man City, Leeds. You know, there are a lot of unforgotten history with some of these clubs who we've never played. Tottenham. Where, you know, rivalries will be ignited. And it will definitely be a fun 9 months of travelling up and down the country. Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good old-fashioned working-class football coming to the Premier League.
Would it be too far to say that in the next 5 years we could see Millwall in the top flight? Do you think that's too far off the radar at this point? Obviously, like you said, Chris, you've been, you know, year by year, you want to expand the budget a little bit and get a couple more players in. Is that realistic where 5 years from now we could see Millwall, you know, go up through the playoffs or automatics within the next 5 years?
I genuinely think that. I do. For the first time in my life, I genuinely think it could be on the horizon for us. We are, for all intents and purposes, not every fan might agree with the way it is done, and there's definitely things that I'd pick holes in, but we are a very well-run club financially. And we are, from my understanding, I don't know if this is actually gospel or not, but we are increasing our budget year on year, trying to expand that, to try and get there. There's also lots of exciting off-the-pitch stuff going on. We've just had a new training ground application put in for, well, a state-of-the-art training complex that, again, might sound obvious to some clubs, but to us, we don't have things like that. There's talks of regenerate. I won't go into it and bore you, but we're trying to do something with the local council to regenerate the area around the stadium, which is in desperate need of it. So there's lots of things going on that are all pointing to the club going in the right direction. We've got a good chairman that backs us. So I think so. You know, for the first time in a long time, we've got quite a lot of competition on the pitch this season. Usually we have a good 11, but after that, there's not much there, particularly in the centre of the park. There were two or three names that didn't get on the pitch yesterday. Well, may got on the pitch, but didn't start, that would easily walk into a lot of teams in the Championship. So, yeah, I'm going to be optimistic with this one and say it should definitely be the plan. And Gary Rowett has signed a new deal. I think it takes him to the end of next season. So it looks like he's going to be sticking around because there were some rumours that he weren't. And he plays boring football. I'll be the first to admit it, but it's effective. So, yeah, let's see.
So, yeah, okay. You know, you basically said that you didn't have much depth past your starting 11 in previous years, but so this is kind of a really great year for them to be implementing a five substitutes rule in the Championship for you lot, right?
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I mean, we spoke about this, I think, on the last episode of our show or last weekend's episode of our show, where I think potentially that it's going to be more of a strategic managerial role rather than where you've had one or two to sort of change slight things. Realistically, now you can pretty much change your whole attacking lineup if you wanted to. You could use it strategically to say, you know what, we're playing a team where, you know, they're an older set of players, their legs are gone. We're going to run them ragged for the first half with all of these, and then we're going to bring on a load more fresh legs come the second half. We're coming about 55, 60 minutes, and we just run them ragged again. And I think that's the difference where, you know, 2-3 subs now to the five subs is going to be massive for the Championship. But again, it's got to be used properly. I mean, if you've got a football sort of, you know, a football person manager as such, someone who played the game to a high level and understands the game, then I think they're in an advantage now compared to, you know, the ones who have just come in as managers as such and who necessarily don't have loads of playing career. I do see that it's going to be an advantage for it. So, yeah, for us especially, because we used to always lag in the second half and now we can pretty much change it up and keep the same formation he wants, but, you know, just start going again.
So last question here, and Mickey, you kind of already alluded to your answer, but Chris, I wanted to get your take on the upcoming game, final score and maybe some goal scorers in the upcoming game when you lot come to Bramall Lane.
Yep. So I'm going to go with a draw, which I would take. I'll take a point at Bramall Lane. So I'll go with a 1-1 draw. We don't, famous last words, but we don't really concede many goals. It's just the way we play and the way we set up. And last season, our biggest weakness was scoring goals. You know, you've got to score 60 goals plus to get in the playoffs, and we didn't do that. So I'm going to go 1-1 draw, and I'll go for Jake Cooper. Why not? He loves a goal against you. So Jake Cooper from a corner, 1-1 draw. For you guys, is Ndiaye playing? I'll go with Ndiaye as a goal for you. He's a player that I quite like the look of.
I think that's a pretty good shout, probably. You know, in our first game, we had Watford on, and for those listening, you'll already know what the result of the game was, but we predicted a 1-1 draw as well in our game tomorrow. So we'll see if that happens. And Chad, what's your score prediction for the game coming week?
Well, since I'll be there in the flesh, I want like a 5-4 thriller. I want like 9 goals. So I'll take anything on the scoreboard. I just hope we have more than they do, because it could be like 9-8. I don't care. I want to see them banging in goals from all over the place. This is my first time at Lane. Come on. I want to see like a thriller. 3-3, yeah. Something like that. 4-3, something, whatever. We come from 3-1 down and win 4-3. I mean, chanting we were going to win 4-3 at the 89th minute. And
I tell you, the drugs are good in New York City, ain't they? I don't think you get that. I'll tell you what you might get is you might get a goal from Jake Cooper for you and an own goal, and then basically he scored one with us. So I think we're going to win 2-1, maybe 3-2. And I think Jake Cooper will score the decider. I don't really think your guys will score. But, yeah, no, I think I've just got a feeling I think we'll score. I think if it's going to be 2-1, I can see Jake Cooper and Creswell or a Fabry scoring. So, yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 or 3-2. And it's only because at least when you come home, yeah, Chad, you'll come home and people go, how was it? You go, yeah, well, I went to Bramall Lane and I saw Sheffield United play for the first time and they got beat by Millwall. And the people will go, oh, we've heard of Millwall. Rather than going home saying, yeah, we got beat by Huddersfield or Norwich. And they go, who are they? Where are they? What? Do you know what I mean? So at least when you say, yeah, we got beat by Millwall, and the people will go, oh, yeah, no, we know who they are, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, as the song says at our ground, mate, everyone knows us. We're called Millwall, so everyone does know us.
That's true. That's definitely true. Before I started watching the championship consistently, by virtue of having seen Green Street, I mean, I knew who Millwall were.
No, that's it. That's what everyone's education of Millwall is either Green Street or Football Factory. So, we'll take that. It's good as gold. So, yeah, no, it's all good.
Definitely. Well, thank you, Ad, so much for coming on, and best of luck to you this season. And hopefully we'll have you back for the reverse fixture, all right?
Yeah, no, definitely. You can come on our show for the reverse fixture.
Really quickly, do you want to drop your social media where people can follow you before we jump off here?
Yeah, it's really simple. We're known as That Millwall Pod, and that's across any social media. So That Millwall Pod across Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. If you search us on any podcast provider, it's That Millwall Podcast. And obviously, you can find us on YouTube as well. But yeah, we're across social media. So if you listen to this, and you are a football fan in the States, you know, get in touch through social media, say hello. We'll be good to hear from you. It's good to reach out and speak to fans around the world. So, yeah.
Cheers. Well, I think that just about wraps things up here, Chad. Really quickly, can you let everyone know where they can find you on social media?
They can find me on social media at cjarvis_13 on Twitter and Instagram. And I will tweet out where I'm going to be in Sheffield on Saturday. So if you guys follow me on social media, I will definitely tweet it out. So keep posted.
And if you haven't done so already, please follow the podcast at Red Sheffield on Twitter and at the Red Half of Sheffield on Facebook. Please follow me as well, Noah Snyder, at Sunpuck on Instagram and at Nessman930 on Twitter. So until this Saturday, when we play Millwall at home, it is a 3 p.m. BST kickoff. Up the Blades, Chad.
Up the Blades.
Come on, you red and white wizards.